Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Matt's here. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Dave Harrigan, let's envision Matthew Coller living, what'd you say, Matt, about 30 minutes outside of Buffalo. Is that about right? Is that what I remember?
I grew up probably about an hour away from Buffalo, but I did live in Buffalo and I worked there in radio.
Got it.
So I was right in the middle.
So now I'm going back to the kid days, Harrigan. What football gift, if we ask Matthew Coller to say football gift as a kid, not as a 17, 18-year-old, but as a kid, what do you think most stands out as football gift?
I've got two that jump to mind right away. A nice, maybe Jim Kelly or Thurman Thomas jersey.
Yep.
Or a classic electric football game.
I was thinking the electric football game. Then I was thinking, well, he's maybe too young to be a big electric football game.
I had one. It was cool the first time I used it.
Was there like maybe you got a Bills authentic football
signed, maybe,
and it was signed, and he said screw the signing, he was out there chucking that baby.
Scott Norwood signed it.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a that's a what is the football gift that we're searching for that Matthew Coller, when he thinks of his childhood and a football gift, it still stands out?
No, you guys actually did really well.
Thank you.
They used to have the Sears catalog where you could order stuff out of.
Yeah.
And they had all the little football jerseys, and you get a helmet, football pants or whatever. And, of course, I had the Jim Kelly version of that, as one
mm-hmm.
does.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually ended up getting that helmet signed by a bunch of Bills players at a training camp.
There we go.
Cool?
Yeah.
Yep. And I think the most memorable one, though, was when the Cleveland Browns returned in 1999, I guess it would have been. I asked for a Tim Couch jersey because I wanted to get
on board
with the Cleveland Browns coming back.
Seriously.
Because
that's it. Just stop right there.
There you go.
That sums him up right there. Does that not, Harrigan, right there? I'm getting on board with the Tim Couch train. There really wasn't a long line. But
era was just beginning.
Yeah, the era. How did you feel about that Couch jersey?
Well, first of all, I still have it in the house. I will never move on from my Tim Couch jersey or my opinion that they let down Tim Couch.
Let him down.
A bad team.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, it was an expansion team. They put him in right away, and he just got killed for an entire year. They started Ty Detmer in the first game ever. And they were down like 30 points at halftime. And they were just like, let's just play Tim Couch the rest of the way. So much for development of the young kid. So, you know, the NFL teams are still screwing that up, I think. But, I for a while there, I followed the Browns pretty closely. And then at some point you realize this is never going to get better.
Just torturing yourself.
And then you just move on.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think this was a break into Browns fan line. But Browns Part 2, so this is now 26 years, and they have not had a single very good quarterback in 26 years. That's correct, right?
Well, it depends on what you think of Kelly Holcomb.
He did play in a playoff game, right, for him?
Oh, he didn't just play. He threw for like 400 yards.
Yeah.
They lost to Pittsburgh in that game. It was a great game. But, they really haven't. I mean, Derek Anderson had a year, and there's been, you know, for a little bit, Colt McCoy, maybe some people were on board with.
Yeah.
And so you can see why their owner would try, not that I'm justifying this decision because it was horrific, but would, like, try to get Deshaun Watson just, hey, we'll get someone proven for the first time. And then that's
worked out well.
Their face. But, it was a rough ride.
Can I give you my favorite autograph football story? This won't shock you because you were on my father for a number of years. My father had a lot of old school Vikings footballs. Okay, like a lot of old school Vikings footballs that were autographed. Now, there might have been a point in my life in college where we might have been drinking and partying out at the St. Croix, and we might have very subtly, next to Carl Eller, added, you know, Dave Nolan or, you know, Chad Hartman, you know, whatever it might be, right? You know? So, and then we would put those footballs off the side because he had so many. Well, I then started dating my eventual bride, Kathleen. And I said, well, you know, so we're out there. I go, this is what we do. We have a cocktail or two, and then eventually we sign it. And I go, go ahead and sign this. I'm going to go get us another drink. But what we would do, Matt, is we would sign the footballs like, you know, same height of their, you know, signature. I come back. I'm like, here's your drink. And I love her, but the biggest signature ever. I mean, just like the Donald Trump signature. And I'm like, we have a problem. It's like, what? I go, look at your signature on this football. So we put it off to the side. Then about, I don't know, 10 years ago, he has somebody out there. He tells me he's going to have somebody out there to look at some of his memorabilia and to see if, and I said, I have to get out there first. He's like, why? I go, well, there's just a couple things I really want to keep. He's like, okay, I grabbed that football really quick before any trouble, you know. Carl Eller, Alan Page. She was then Kathleen Hoyes, just giant signature. That wouldn't have worked out well. Do we know who's playing and who's not playing? Is the left tackle playing against the Giants on Sunday?
The left tackle has been shut down for the season,
okay.
Kevin O'Connell announced, which I got to say, earlier this week when they said, oh, you know, he's going to be week to week, my response was, but why?
Yeah,
why would you even bother with trying to get him healthy when he has been healthy all year? And I just feel like for Christian Darrisaw, this must have been a nightmare this season. I mean, you're trying so hard to come back from that injury and going through the rehab process. And for sure, he was ahead of schedule when we saw him out there in the joint practices and things like that. And, you know, didn't quite make it to week one, but then he returns against Cincinnati. He looks like an absolute beast. And you think, okay, well, you know, modern medicine, everybody, off we go. And, you know, sometimes things in football with these injuries are more complicated. And, you know, there were too many times this year where he just did not look confident, didn't have the same explosiveness, and he still played well above average football, but, you know, just didn't have that, like, you know, I don't know, like anger to him. And I mean that in a good way, like playing physical, playing violent. And that's a player who's confident is going to be able to do that. And so it just never felt like that got back to anywhere near 100%. And then after the Washington game where he played awesome, you know, then he doesn't play the next week. It's like, okay, something is clearly not right with this, whether it's soreness or swelling or whatever. If your knee is swelling, then it's your body telling you something is not right in there. And so now, I mean, they're hoping that this is just a thing that rest and healing and whatever else, but it certainly comes to mind of, is this now going to be something that he's dealing with forever into the future? Because sometimes, you know, injuries don't ever fully heal and guys don't ever, go back to what they were before. So, I mean, man, how many times have you thought about like that silly run play at the end of the half where, like, how many run plays do you ever block on and somebody just falls into his knee? And, you know, if you're the Vikings, you're very much hoping it didn't change the trajectory, because left tackle is as hard to find as franchise quarterback. And when you have it, it's worth its weight in gold. And when you don't have it, you are playing a different football game than teams that do. And we've seen that for when Justin Skuhl is in there.
It's such an important reminder as we chat with Matthew Caller that we've come to assume now with modern medicine, when somebody has a significant injury, and if they're still in their prime, and Darrisaw was approaching his prime, right, that, oh, it's just a guarantee they're going to come back, when it doesn't work that way all the time. That's sad, but it's the reality. Let me ask you this part. Because as you laid it out, he's in, he's out, what's going on? Is there any concern there was any confusion or any tension between the Vikings and Darrisaw's people at all, the way this played out?
I would lean toward yes on that, and that's based on what Darrisaw said to us after the Cincinnati game. Myself and Andrew Kramer, the Star Tribune, were chatting with him, and he said to us, yeah, guys, I'm actually like way ahead of schedule. And we were like, really? Because an ACL is usually 9 months. Like, we kind of all know that, right? And Hockenson came back in that time frame and everything else. And he said that he told us that it was originally a year that he was supposed to be out, which was news to us. And then O'Connell later mentioned in a press conference or two that the injury was more complicated. And, you know, I think we could surmise, you know, more things were torn than just an ACL when that happened. And so I think that he did not really love the fact that, you know, maybe it was put out there, or maybe there was an expectation from media and fans, just because we didn't know, that he, you know, was maybe being rushed back. Maybe he felt that way. I don't know how they felt and what their medical scans and everything else. And then there have been a few, you know, times where he's gone out there to warm up and then something's not right and he doesn't play. And I can't imagine how frustrating that is for a coach. And that was referenced by Wes Phillips this week, where, you know, just talking about how hard it is when you game plan all week long to have your left tackle and then suddenly right before the game, he's not in there. So
yeah,
it's really,
right,
really difficult. And I just, I think that, I mean, this is always a conflict with injuries. The coaches know the difference between Christian Darrisaw and Justin School, but only Christian Darrisaw really knows how he feels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you do worry a little bit about, is there going to be, you know, some trust loss there? And I don't know that that's true, but when things like this happen where, you know, they might be on two different pages, that can be the case. So I think that they have to make sure that their relationship, and O'Connell has praised him many, many times for his approach and things like that. But they do have to, you know, make sure that that relationship between him and the training staff and the coaching staff is also solid, not just his knee recovering. Because, I mean, this guy is as good at his job as anybody in the NFL. This is not a position you can just go find, oh, we'll just get another one. That's not how left tackle works.
This is our guy, Matthew Collar. He's tremendous on football. He's fun to chat with. We're lucky to have him, like so many of our guests. Purple Insider is essential for you if you care at all about the Vikings, even if you care casually. It's worth all the information you get. So go up and sign up for Purple Insider. Let's talk more with Matthew after a very short pause here on WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All right, three political notes as we get back to Matthew. Chris Maddle, gubernatorial candidate, less than 50 minutes away. The president today announced deals with 9 pharmaceutical companies to reduce some drug prices, trying to align with lower costs in Europe. Let's hope. Be great if it works out that way. And then a man who normally takes question after question after question, sometimes there's even you bump into facts with the president, didn't take a single question on why the Epstein files weren't released today. Matthew Collar, let me paint this scenario for you as a man who I know loves wide receivers and is always pushing for the Vikings to draft a wide receiver. We know the Jordan Addison experience because he's talented. He's a great route runner, turned out very good number one draft choice. But we also know drop passes this year. We know the situation when he didn't start overseas. We know the legal issues. We also know that Jalen Naylor looks like might be a pretty damn good player. Now, it's very different if you're the third wide receiver compared to number two, but, you know, Naylor's a free agent. If somebody would offer you, Matthew Collar, now general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, you can get a second-round draft choice for Jordan Addison and you sign Jalen Naylor, would you make that move?
I would not make that move. Okay. I think, number one, as much as Jalen Naylor has been awesome and I've been so impressed, I think we have to remember KJ Osborne, the number three wide receiver spot.
Yep.
When Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison are on the team, offers a lot of opportunities. And again, like, he's made contested catches and he's made plays, but I don't know if there's been a second defender around him ever in his career. So then you're moving up to a spot where that does happen, and it's a little more challenging. I think from a pure wide receiver perspective, Addison is still quite a bit better. I mean, from a route running perspective, contested catch perspective, and again, it was all credit to Jalen Naylor. The other problem is when you talk about signing Naylor, if you have to offer him market value of a wide receiver two to get him to stay, which is what I'm sure he's planning on getting a contract for another team, that's like,
do you think,
million.
Wait, can I just jump in that before?
Yeah.
Do you think he will get number two money?
I think that's what he's going to be seeking, and I think it'll probably be somewhere in between. But
okay.
If you're trading away Addison, then you have to pay him like a wide receiver two to get him to stay, right? So, I mean, that's like $15 to $20 million, whereas Jordan Addison is still on his rookie contract. And I know we're talking about eventually signing Jordan Addison, but they have pinned themselves into a cap situation where there's not a lot of room to have a $20 or $15 million addition for, you know, Jalen Naylor to bump up into that spot. Second round pick to me is not worth it enough. And also we do have to remember, and you know, it concerns me as much as anybody else, the stuff Jordan Addison did off the field, but he has not turned 24 yet. Like, there are a lot of rookies who come into the league that are 24. And the last incident, okay, there was something in London where he sat for a series or a quarter, so I guess if you want to reset the counter there. But we are now quite a bit separated from, you know, the DUI incident. So to me, Jordan Addison has been a kingmaker for quarterbacks everywhere he's gone, kind of until this year where no one has made J.J. McCarthy into a king. But to me, having that duo is worth its weight in gold, and I would not do anything to change that. I think in the best case scenario, you're ultimately signing him to a long-term contract, and you have these two wide receivers here for the next, you know, 8 to 10 years.
When Kevin O'Connell sits down with my longtime good friend Paul Allen on Tuesdays, he's very comfortable, and he gives PA really good info. I think at times he does that with you guys during the week, sometimes after games because of the record this year. I feel like he's been a little more defensive. But I thought it was very interesting when he was just talking about incredible power, leeway, and relationship that Brian Flores and Harrison Smith have. That we normally think of this so much as, you know, the Mike linebacker, the guy who's got the green dot, you know, Blake Cashman or an Eric Wilson this year. When Harrison Smith, as a safety, as a man who's in, I think, his 37th year in the NFL, but he is guiding the Vikings so much on, are we sending six? Are we just four? Are we sending eight? And how he's making that read more than anybody else on the field. What a testament that is to Smith, his intelligence, Flores, and his belief in Smith.
100%. This is, you know, you've probably heard the saying many times, oh, like, there's a coach on the field, right? This is literally that.
Yeah.
The way that Flores described it to us on Tuesday was that he sends in a call, and then Harrison Smith will decide whether he wants to stick with that call or whether he wants to completely change the call on the fly.
Wow.
And then he will tell everybody else based on what he sees. And it really is like having a co-defensive coordinator because you know, Durante Jones, their defensive backs coach, who might take over for Flores if in the case that he leaves, you know, they're very close as well, him and Harrison Smith. So this is why I think that earlier in the season, while they were trying to emulate this to some extent with Josh Metellus, Metellus is still growing as a player, and I just think Harrison Smith is an all-time football IQ freak.
Yeah.
You know, it just wasn't the same earlier this year. And, you know, that's where the physical skill is clearly not what it used to be with Harrison Smith. And you'll see, oh, hey, he would have made that tackle, you know, in 2016 or something. But the intellectual part is through the roof. And he just toyed with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott was more pressured and performed worse on third downs than you ever see a guy of that talent. Mm-hmm. And there were times watching it back on tape where it's just, it's almost comical because Harrison lines up in one spot, sees the offense, goes to all these, you know, these players, makes a check, and then runs to a completely different spot after the snap. And you're like, how's anybody supposed to figure that out as a quarterback? So if he is done after this year, there's no replacing that. You're going to have to figure out a different way to do this because that you're not going to be able to do this again.
Merry Christmas, my friend. Thanks for all the great work, and have a great day with Sloan next week, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Purple Insider, Matthew Caller. Is Chris Maddle the next governor of this state? He's already on hold. He's next for an extensive conversation with Chris right here on CCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All right, Chris Maddle returns to the show. He's joined us many times on numerous legal issues. Always a pleasure, sir. Let me start the conversation this way. Let me talk about myself, okay?
I love talking about you, Jack.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'd rather talk about you.
Exactly. I believe I'm in a group of a significant percentage of people in this state. I'm a moderate. I'm a centrist. I am slightly left socially. I am slightly right fiscally. I have voted for Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. I am disgusted by the fraud in this state. As a centrist, for somebody who's like me, who maybe voted for Tim Walz or voted for other center-right Republicans, why is Chris Maddle that lane in this upcoming election, or are you that guy?
No, I really honestly believe that I am because I have four issues that I truly, really care about the most right now. I really care about fraud. I really care about safer streets. I want better schools, and I'm really interested in the cost of living and right-sizing government. When you get beyond those four things, those are my four priorities and goals. That's it. I'm really not interested in these national issues. I'm not interested in being baited to the far left or the far right. I don't think that that's productive, and I don't think that's where Minnesotans are. And I agree with you. The same thing with fraud. And I also know, Chad, you were very vocal with respect to what Mary Moriarty did with Trooper Londrigan.
Correct.
And at that time, you were when he was first charged, you were in a minority view, and you still stood up on the side of the righteousness, and because he actually was innocent of that stuff. But at the very beginning, you were out there. As a lone wolf, in a lot of circles, saying that was wrong. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, but that's where Minnesotans are. The people that were born and raised here are really in that middle. And I am hoping for a revolution of the reasonable, smart people taking the state back.
What has happened, and I really appreciate the answer, what has happened to both parties, Chris, and you have been a lawyer throughout your life and haven't been consumed by politics, but you're also a very intelligent person. You know this. What has happened with our politics the last 20, 30 years is we've just moved to the extremes. And the idea is, whether it's at the federal level or the state level, to get an endorsement or to win a primary, you have to play, if you're a Democrat, to the further left, or if you're Republican, have to play to the right. And there are going to be plenty of Republicans we're going to say, who's this guy? Is he really going to follow where we think MAGA is further right? Can you still not run from conservative principles, but can you say these are areas I disagree with? I'm sorry. I respect you, but we don't see that, and still win the primary in this party, because the Republicans need to start running people who can win elections as opposed to winning some endorsement process Saturday in Rochester in front of like 350 people.
If you saw my announcement speech at the very end, I posed the question to Republicans. I said, the main question I have for Republicans in the state of Minnesota, are you tired of losing? Because they've only done it for statewide for gubernatorial elections for 20 years. And I believe, and I said this in my speech, it's Einstein's definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. If the Republicans are interested in losing, they got a whole bunch of other candidates that they can choose from. I'm just not interested in losing. I'm not a very good politician. I really hope that I don't become to be a very good politician, because I really think that those four issues that I kind of articulated mm-hmm. are where we're all concerned right now. And the more that we get beyond that, we then get torn to these extremes. People say, well, you know, I will get this a number of times. Well, what do you think about Trump? What do you think about this? What do you think about, you know, what's happening, you know, with respect to something in Virginia? And we have fires burning right now. Fraud is huge right now with respect to that. But I also think that, you know, downtown Minneapolis, right outside of my office, I looked down today and saw another drug deal. And I'm moving out of downtown Minneapolis because I'm so afraid for my employees. You know, education, where Mississippi is beating us. People, Minnesotans, real Minnesotans, see these as real issues. And so back to your question, can I win that endorsement? I think that I can. I'm going to try as living hard as I can possibly try in order to do that. But I was really encouraged by this straw poll mm-hmm. that I did. I mean, when I went there, you know, not very many Republicans at that conference knew who I was. They had no idea who I was. I spoke for 5 minutes and got 41 votes. I think that Republicans now are starting to kind of see, hey, listen, we do keep following the wrong candidates, and we do keep running headlong into a brick wall. Let's try something different, and let's actually start concentrating on the issues that can actually do something for real people, as opposed to these kind of theoretical things and just saying, hey, let's try to tear down the entire system, which is just unrealistic, and frankly, it's not going to help anybody.
This is Chris Maddle. He's been an extraordinarily successful attorney for decades. He's now running as a Republican to be the next governor of the state of Minnesota. So let's get to the fraud story. What part of the fraud story should a WCCO listener, a Minnesota citizen, or somebody who's listening, you know, through our podcast, or listen to CCO around the country and still has a tie to Minnesota, what part of this story should bug them the most?
So Joe Thompson, he's the first assistant, he was the acting U.S. attorney, and Joe's a good friend of mine. I've been opposite him on cases and on the same side of his cases, and socially, we're friends. I pushed hard for him to become the U.S. attorney, obviously wasn't successful in that effort. Joe, during his press conference, just said of that $18 billion, you know, that is really the focus of this fraud. Somebody asked him, well, how much? He suggested that half of that is fraud. So let's just assume that, just for the sake of argument, that it's $9 billion and it's not more. The thing I would ask your listeners to remember, we have about 5.8 million residents in Minnesota, men, women, and children. That is $1,551 per person, in Minnesota. And so every man, woman, and child, you have just lost over $1,500 to fraudsters using the conservative estimate that the first assistant United States attorney just used yesterday. This is just so wrong when we're talking about food prices, child care prices, health care prices, everything going up, that we're taking this money from people that really need that. So we need to get focused in on that, because this is the easiest way for us to save money as a state, is to stop this money from going to people that just want to steal it. And so this is why I've frankly been critical of not only the Democrats, but also of the Republicans. This has been going on for 10 years.
Okay, so can I ask you that part?
It's coming to light.
Let me jump in, because I want to get to the governor in a second. But I think this is interesting, because you've made that point repeatedly. This is on the Democrats and the Republicans. And I think there are some Republicans who are going to say, wait a second, this guy's running to be our representative. This is on Walls. Can you be, because I know you're capable of being specific. You have to be to have the brilliant legal career you've had. Where do you think the Republicans are culpable on this story?
It's simply a matter of the oversight. There has not been any significant oversight on this. The oversight has amounted to hanging outside of my friend Joe Thompson's office and waiting for him to do something and then running to Twitter to post it on there. I mean, the House leadership started this fraud committee, and now one of my other candidates is running it, but the House leadership started it. And they keep touting this fraud committee, but what has it done? It's literally done nothing. It wasn't, I really sincerely believe it was not formed to root out fraud. It's a taxpayer-funded dress rehearsal for the appearance of competence. That's all they're trying to do.
Well, let me jump in.
It's not about solving problems.
So this is Kristen Robbins, who is in charge of the committee. She's a Republican from Maple Grove. She's put that out there. Clearly, she's running. Let me ask you about what she's doing now. When she's getting tips and she's getting information, she's only giving them to Joe Thompson. She's not giving them to any state authorities. Is that the right decision?
In fairness to Ms. Robbins, it's not just her. House leadership, Lisa Damith, also approves this as well. I have faced this problem dozens, if not over 100 times in my career with respect to third parties that have information. You don't want them to be hurt. If they would just come out and say, listen, we have to stop this. We can't let these additional payments. We are permitting the theft of Minnesota money going to these people. And if these people then came out and we talked about it publicly, they have a, frankly, an employment position that is golden. They cannot be fired because everybody knows them that they're the whistleblower. And if they're fired, they got a guaranteed lawsuit.
Yep.
And nobody's ever going to touch them. So this notion that we're holding back these names on these things, to me, is really detrimental to the process, but we're permitting theft going on right now. And honestly, it's not an accident that the person who started the fraud committee is running for governor and is the chair. I mean, you know, this is more trying to score more political points for campaigns than stopping fraud.
So let's talk about Tim Walz in particular. Remind people, Chris Maddle is with us. You can see Chris on Twitter. You can get his information to follow him or Maddle for governor. He's with us here on CCO. Do you know enough where if we're in court, you could demonstrably prove that Tim Walz looked the other way on this fraud, or do you think it's more likely that he was negligent and derelict in fouling up on systems that were already set up and that when an extraordinary amount of money because of COVID was sent here, that it should have been his responsibility to double up? Because, again, I think he's culpable of both, but it'd be even more if he just, you know, he clearly knew about it and didn't do a damn thing about it.
There's a jury instruction in federal court in federal criminal cases that every white collar defense attorney absolutely hates, and it's called deliberate ignorance. It's also kind of known as willful blindness. And it's the idea where you deliberately don't become aware of facts when there's a high probability of something occurring. And what the law does is that it says you know those facts. That's what that jury instruction says. How can you possibly claim with respect to the governor and frankly, you know, every one of these commissioners, every one of the high level people there, that they are not aware of a high probability of fraud going on when this has not only happened for the last 10 years, but they themselves are now saying that there's 14 different areas of fraud that are occurring. And then there's indictment after indictment after indictment. One of these indictments that just came down, again, from Joe Thompson, shows that the guy was billing 3,600 hours a year to the Housing Stabilization Services program. I mean, all you really need to do is, you know, I'm sure you know how to use this. I know how to use the sort function on an Excel spreadsheet and just, you know, frankly, sort by that hours section.
Right.
Look at the people, you know, that's 70 hours a week, 52 weeks out of the year. you know, including Thanksgiving, you know, New Year's, Christmas. I mean, that is outrageous. Nobody is doing that. Who is watching this? So to say that they didn't know under the eyes of the law, I just don't buy it. And that's why I kind of brought up during my announcement speech, there is a federal statute, 18 U.S.C. Section 4. It's called misprision of felony. And it says that somebody that has knowledge of a federal offense and then takes an affirmative act to conceal it is guilty of a felony themselves. When we're talking about these whistleblowers, and these whistleblowers are affirmatively being told, do not come forward with fraud, that is in and of itself a federal offense. And I don't know who's telling these whistleblowers that, but it deserves investigation, and it deserves somebody that is actually going to take helm of the government and actually affirmatively look into it. This is not rocket science, Chad. You know that. I know that.
Let's
just get in there and roll up your sleeves and get the job done.
Let's finish with this, and I appreciate you coming on, and I know we'll talk plenty during the race. Because you're new to this, you've never done this before, where all of a sudden you're going to have to appear in front of people and raise money. It's unavoidable. We have way too much money in politics, but it's the process that's unavoidable. How comfortable are you with this, and how essential is this to you? Somebody in the metro area we're familiar with, but right now in greater Minnesota, they might know your name a little bit, but not great. And you have to build up that name recognition. And sadly, in my opinion, money is a part of that process.
And you're 100% right. And the linking of name recognition and money is there's a 100% correlation. And that is my biggest hurdle in winning not only the nomination, but also winning governor. And that is, you know, and that's one of the things that I have to do. My strategy on that, I don't care if my opponents know this, the more that I go out and talk to people and actually explain these problems to them, the more converts that I get. With respect to raising money, I've actually been on a number of boards over the years, and I'm actually kind of one of the things I don't shy away from is asking people to give money to things when I think that it actually deserves it. And we just had an amazing, we had two fundraisers a couple days ago, and it was an amazing day. So, you know, I'm very encouraged by the excitement around my campaign. I'm very encouraged by my friends and really kind of going out there and helping me with respect to that. But that this is something that we're just, you know, I'm going to have to work on and keep going in the future. But I think anybody that's supporting me is going to be pleasantly surprised by our numbers that we're going to be coming out in January.
Always appreciate the time, sir. We'll talk soon. Thank you very much.
You're the best. Thanks, man.
Chris Maddle with us, 252 on CCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.